Welcome to Zikud Daf Sin, money member of Avram Gold. And today we're Zekas Bamitzia, Daf Ein Zayin, the sixth parak of Sochas HaUmnin. This parak has been generously sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Eric and Connie Lindenauer. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rava said that if one hires workers to draw water and irrigate his field, and rain watered the field before they could, pseudet the polim, it's the workers' loss, and they're not paid at all because they were aware that rain would make the irrigation unnecessary. If instead the river overflowed into the field and watered it, pseudet the Baal HaBayis, it's the employer's loss, since he knew that the river occasionally waters his field, but the workers did not. He pays them kapo batel, like an idle worker. If the river stopped flowing in midday, depriving the workers of the water source, then if this event is abnormal, it's the worker's loss, for the employer did not anticipate it more than they did, and any unperformed work is not paid. If this was a common occurrence, then if the workers were also local residents, it's still the workers' loss, since they knew as well as he that it might stop up. If they are not local residents, he must compensate them for the time they were without work. Point number two, the Mishnah Daf Ein Vav Amud Aleph stated, V'kol ha'chozer bo yado al tachtona, and anyone who reneges has the lower hand. A price explains that it refers to one who sold a field for 1,000 zuz, and the buyer paid 200 zuz, and one party retracted. If the seller retracts, the buyer has the upper hand and can choose to demand his money back or land equal in value to the amount paid, which must be from Edis, superior land. If the buyer retracts, the seller has the upper hand and may return the buyer's money or give land equal to the amount paid and may give Ziboris, inferior land. The Gemara wonders why the buyer can demand Edis when he should be no better than an ordinary Baal Chov who collects Bananis. Furthermore, he should receive a portion of the very land he purchased. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak explains that it means Me'idin Sheba, from the superior part of the land he purchased. Rav Acha, the son of Rav Ika, said he is entitled to the seller's personal Edis, because one who purchases expensive land likely sold his own land cheaply for the funds. Thus, the seller's retraction indirectly damages the buyer, entitling him to Edis. And point number three, in the Brisa just mentioned, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Malamdin Osan Shalo Yechazru, we instruct them to ensure they will not be able to retract by writing a shtar, converting the remaining balance into a debt. This implies that otherwise the party can still retract. This contradicts another Brisa in which he ruled that a security given for a purchase naturally finalizes the entire purchase and the unpaid balance is rendered a debt. The Gemara answers that the first price where the parties can retract unless the balance is converted to a loan is the Ka'al V'Nafika Zuze, where the seller is going in and out attempting to obtain the money, indicating his insistence on immediate payment. The second price's case is where the seller does not display an urgency for immediate payment, so the sale is finalized with the partial payment. The Gemara relates that a man once sold a donkey which was paid in full, except for a single zuz. The seller was going in and out to obtain the final zuz, and Rav Ashi wondered if the ruling just mentioned applies even to a single zuz. Rabba was quoted as ruling Zuza Kazuzidam Ivokani. One Zuz is like numerous Zuz, and he does not acquire the donkey with the partial payment. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rabba said that if one hires workers to draw water and irrigate his field, and rain watered the field before they could, pseudet the polim, it's the workers' loss, and they're not paid at all because they were aware the rain would make the irrigation unnecessary. If instead the river overflowed into the field and watered it, pseudet the Baal HaBayis, it's the employer's loss, since he knew that the river occasionally waters his field, but the workers did not. He pays them kapo batel, like an idle worker. If the river stopped flowing in midday, depriving the workers of the water source, then if this event is abnormal, it's the workers' loss, for the employer did not anticipate it more than they did, and any unperformed work is not paid. If this was a common occurrence, then if the workers were also local residents, it's still the workers' loss, since they knew as well as he that it might stop up. If they are not local residents, he must compensate them for the time they were without work. Point number two, the Mishnah Daf Ein Vav Amud Aleph stated, V'kol ha'chozer bo yado al tachtona, and anyone who reneges has the lower hand. A price explains that it refers to one who sold a field for 1,000 zuz, and the buyer paid 200 zuz, and one party retracted. If the seller retracts, the buyer has the upper hand and can choose to demand his money back or land equal in value to the amount paid, which must be from Edis, superior land. If the buyer retracts, the seller has the upper hand and may return the buyer's money or give land equal to the amount paid and may give Ziboris, inferior land. The Gemara wonders why the buyer can demand Edis when he should be no better than an ordinary Baal Chov who collects Bananis. Furthermore, he should receive a portion of the very land he purchased. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak explains that it means Me'idin Sheba, from the superior part of the land he purchased. Rav Acha, the son of Rav Ika, said he is entitled to the seller's personal Edis, because one who purchases expensive land likely sold his own land cheaply for the funds. Thus, the seller's retraction indirectly damages the buyer, entitling him to Edis. And point number three, in the Brisa just mentioned, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Malamdin Osan Shol Yechazru, we instruct them to ensure they will not be able to retract by writing a shtar, converting the remaining balance into a debt. This implies that otherwise the party can still retract. This contradicts another Brisa in which he ruled that a security given for a purchase naturally finalizes the entire purchase and the unpaid balance is rendered a debt. The Gemara answers that the first price where the parties can retract unless the balance is converted to a loan is the Ka'al V'Nafika Zuze, where the seller is going in and out attempting to obtain the money, indicating his insistence on immediate payment. The second price is cases where the seller does not display an urgency for immediate payment, so the sale is finalized with the partial payment. The Gemara relates that a man once sold a donkey which was paid in full, except for a single zuz. The seller was going in and out to obtain the final zuz, and Rav Ashi wondered if the ruling just mentioned applies even to a single zuz. Rabbah was quoted as ruling Zuzi Kazuzi Dam Ivokani. One Zuz is like numerous Zuz, and he does not acquire the donkey with the partial payment. Alright, so now we got our Siman Daf Ein Zayin, and our standard Siman is an Aes, a goat. A goat. So here goes. The workers who arrived to draw water and irrigate the field, where goats were grazing, who were not paid at all when rain fell, and irrigated the field, overheard someone who made partial payment on the goat breeder's field renege on the sale, and told the seller that he should have written a shtar converting the remaining balance into a debt. Once again, slow motion. The workers who arrived to draw water and irrigate the field where goats were grazing. Goats? That must be one daf Ein Zayin. A's. The workers who arrived to draw water and irrigate the field where goats were grazing, who were not paid at all when rain fell and irrigated the field, which reminds us, Rava said that if one hires workers to draw water and irrigate his field and rain watered the field before they could, pseid of the polim, it's the workers' loss and they're not paid at all because they were aware that rain would make the irrigation unnecessary. If instead the river overflowed into the field and watered it, psated the Baal HaBayis, it's the employer's loss since he knew that the river occasionally waters his field, but the workers did not. He pays them kapoa batel like an idle worker. So the workers who arrived to draw water and irrigate the field where goats were grazing, who were not paid at all when rain fell and irrigated the field, overheard someone who made partial payment on the goat breeder's field renege on the sale, which reminds us the Mishnah Daf Ein Vav Amud Aleph stated, and anyone who reneges has the lower hand. Our Bryce explains that it refers to one who sold the field for 1,000 zuz, and the buyer paid 200 zuz, and one party retracted. If the seller retracts, the buyer has the upper hand and can choose to demand his money back or land equal in value to the amount paid, which must be from Edis, superior land. If the buyer retracts, the seller has the upper hand and may return the buyer's money or give land equal to the amount paid and may give Ziburis, inferior land. So the workers who arrived to draw water and irrigate the field where goats were grazing, who were not paid at all when rain fell, and irrigated the field, overheard someone who made partial payment on the goat breeder's field renege on the sale, and told the seller that he should have written a shtar converting the remaining balance into a debt, which reminds us, in the Brisa just mentioned, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Malamdino Soshul Yechaz, we instruct them to ensure that they will not be able to retract by writing a shtar converting the remaining balance into a debt. So once again, the workers who arrived to draw water and irrigate the field where goats were grazing, who were not paid at all when rain fell and irrigated the field, overheard someone who made partial payment on the goat breeder's field renege on the sale and told the seller that he should have written a shtar converting the remaining balance into a debt. All right, so now it's time for four blah back chazara. Daf Ayin Gimel, so the Siman Daf Ayin Gimel is a giant ostrich egg. So here goes. The man making advance payment at a reduced rate for the future wine of a vineyard where the grapes the size of ostrich eggs, that must learn daf Ayin Gimel. The man making an advance payment at a reduced rate for the future wine of a vineyard where the grapes the size of ostrich eggs had not yet ripened, which reminds us, Amoraim dispute the halacha pardesa, an advance payment for the future wine of a vineyard before the grapes have ripened at a reduced price. Rav forbids it, but Shmuel permits it. The Gemara explains that Rav holds that since the wine will later be worth much more, it appears like reward for waiting, meaning that the buyer received a discount for his advance payment for the wine. Shmuel holds that since the crop can be ruined by poor weather, the reduced price is not perceived as ribbis, but for accepting the risk. So the man making an advance payment at a reduced rate for the future wine of a vineyard, where the grapes the size of ostrich eggs had not yet ripened, while rabbis had come to collect wine in barrels shaped like ostrich eggs, which they paid for in advance, making sure not to accept any vinegar, which reminds us, the Gemara explains how the rabbis were permitted to make an advance payment for wine in Tishrei and only pick the barrels of wine and not the barrels that have soured in Tevis. So the man making an advance payment at a reduced rate for the future wine of a vineyard, where the grapes the size of ostrich eggs had not yet ripened, while rabbis had come to collect wine in barrels shaped like ostrich eggs, which they paid for in advance, making sure not to accept any vinegar, was approached by an agent who was negligent and didn't buy wine during the season when the price was low, who asked for directions to the port of Zol Shavat, which reminds us, Rav Chama said that if someone gave money to an agent to purchase wine for him during the season, when the price was low and the agent was negligent and didn't buy it for him, the agent must provide him wine according to the low price of the port of Zol Shavat, a major market where wine was cheap during the production season. Rav Zvi said this ruling was only issued where the agent was instructed to purchase Yain Stum, unspecified wine which was within his ability to obtain. But if he was sent to purchase Yain Zeh, this specific wine, he's not chai, for who's to say that the seller would have sold it to him? Ravashi disagrees and even exempts an agent who was told to buy Yain Stam because it's an asmachta, which is not binding. Daf Ein Dalet, so the Sima Daf Ein Dalet is an aid, a witness. So here goes. The witness, that must be Daf Ein Dalet, aid. The witness who pointed out to the judges the barrels of wine that had been marked, which were selected by a buyer to be taken later, which reminds us, Rapapi said in Rav's name, I see Tumta Kanya, a mark put on wine barrels selected by a purchaser to be taken later as needed affects acquisition. Rav Chaviv explains that this means to actually acquire, like any other act of kinyan. The rabbi said it's only effective that the retracting party must accept upon itself the curse of a mishapara, but the buyer does not take any ownership of the wine. So the witness who pointed out to the judge that the barrels of wine that had been marked, which were selected by a buyer to be taken later, was astonished when he saw someone make an advance purchase of produce without a mark of price when the seller had unprocessed produce lacking two processes before completion. Which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis taught that one may make an advance purchase of produce even without a mark of price if the seller has produce even if it's unprocessed. Rav says, Mechusar Shtayim Posek, if the unprocessed produce is lacking two processes before its completion, he may make an advance purchase on its basis because it's considered like he has the produce. Shalosh ain't a posek, but if it's lacking three processes, he may not make an advance purchase on its basis, since it's so far removed from completion, it's not like having the goods in stock. Shmuel distinguishes whether the processes are bidei Adam or bidei Shemayim. So the witness who pointed out to the judges the barrels of wine that had been marked, which were selected by a buyer to be taken later, was astonished when he saw someone make an advance purchase of produce without a mark of price when the seller had unprocessed produce lacking two processes before completion, who stipulate to the seller that he wants the better price if the price decreases. Which reminds the Mishnah Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis stated, a buyer of an advance purchase who wants to protect himself against price decreases may stipulate with the seller for the better price, requiring the seller to deliver goods at the later price if it decreases. Rav Yehuda said that the buyer may retract if it decreases, even if he never made a stipulation. Daf Ayin Hei, so the Siman Daf Ayin Hei is an Amma Arts. So here goes. The Amma Arts, that must be more than Daf Ayin Hei. The Amma'arz, who borrowed a saw of wheat and promised to pay back a saw that was locked in a storehouse when he found the gold key, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states that one cannot tell his fellow, Halveni Kor Chitin, lend me a core of wheat, Vani Etenel Chalagorin, and I'll give you back a core at the threshing season. This is a case of saw besaw, and rabbinically prohibited, because the produce may increase in price before the repayment. One may say, lend me a core of wheat until my son comes to access my wheat, or until I find the key. Since the borrower has wheat, albeit temporarily inaccessible, it's considered as if the lender acquires it now, and its subsequent increase in value is not ribbis. Hill prohibits even in this case, but the halacha follows the Tanakama. So the Amars who borrowed a saw of wheat and promised to pay back a saw that was locked in the storehouse when he found the gold key, didn't realize his Amar's son had given the key away to someone as a gift, as ribbis mukdemis, to get a loan. Which reminds us, in the next Mishnah, Ram Gamliel says, Yesh ribbis mukdemis, there is advance interest, Yesh ribbis mucheris, and there's subsequent interest. He explains that if one sends someone a gift and says, this is what you should lend me, this is a case of advance interest. If one borrowed from someone, and after repaying the loan, sent him a gift and said, this gift is because of your money, which is idle with me, this is a case of subsequent interest. Rabbi Shimon says, Yesh ribbis dvarim, there is verbal interest without a financial benefit. So the Amars who borrowed a saw of wheat and promised to pay back a saw that was locked in a storehouse when he found the gold key, didn't realize his Amar's son had given the key away to someone as a gift, as ribbis mukdemis, to get a loan, after he foolishly transgressed and lent money to someone without aiding, who later denied his claim. Which reminds us, Rav said, Kol mi sheyesh lo moz, whoever has money and lends it out without aiding, transgresses lifnei iver lo titen mikshel, do not put a stumbling block before a blind person by enabling the borrower to falsely deny the loan. Rish Lakish says, Gorm Kalalalatzma, he causes a curse to be uttered against himself. People assume the borrower is truthfully denying the loan and curse the lender for falsely accusing him. Daf Ein Vav, so the Siman Daf Ein Vav is an IV, intravenous. So here goes. It was a tough day for the hospital manager, who tried to deceive a male nurse by offering him 3 zuz to administer an IV. IV? That must be more than Daf Ein Vav. It was a tough day for the hospital manager, who tried to deceive a male nurse by offering him 3 zuz to administer an IV when his boss said to pay 4. Which reminds us, the sixth parak begins, Hasokha se umnim, if one hires craftsmen, vihitu ze ze, and they deceive each other, ein lehem ze al ze al taromus, they have nothing but complaints against one another, but no monetary claim. Since the Mishnah does not say chazru, they reneged, expressing the attraction of one party, but they deceived one another. It implies one worker deceiving another, meaning the employer instructed someone to hire workers for him, and that person misled them about their pay rate. So it was a tough day for the hospital manager, who tried to deceive a male nurse by offering him 3 zuz to administer an IV, when his boss said to pay 4. And he responded, I agree to the offer, as the employer said, which reminds us, if an employer told the hiring worker to offer 3 zuz, and he told the workers they would receive 4, and they responded, Kamosha Amar Bahabais, we agreed to the offer as the employer said, their intent certainly was to agree to the higher rate of 4. The Gemara asks, if the employer told the hiring worker to offer 4, and he offered them 3, and they responded, Kamosha Amar Bahabais, how is this interpreted? Are they saying we trust you that the employer said this, in which case they're only entitled to the 3 they agreed to, or do we say Adibur de Bahabais Kasamki? They are relying on the word of the employer, and they are saying that they do not trust the hiring worker's offer, and insist on the employer's actual offer, so they would receive the 4 he offered. So it was a tough day for the hospital manager, who tried to deceive a male nurse by offering him 3 zuz to administer an IV, when his boss said to pay 4. And he responded, I agreed to the offer, as the employer said. And then he had to pay a donkey driver who came to pick up a box of medical supplies for the entire day as a poa bato, when he had forgotten to organize any to deliver, which reminds us, a brisa teaches that although workers have only complaints against an employer who reneges, this is only if you renege before the workers travel to their job. But if hired donkey drivers hired for the day went to the arranged location and did not find grain to deliver for him, or workers hired to hoe his field went and found the field damp and work could not be done, he must pay them for the entire day, adjusted to the rate of a poa bato. All right, so now it's time to conclude with a pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which duff do we discuss where one hires workers and deceives them regarding their wages? That's on duff. Ein vav. Good. Number 2, which duff do you mean that one who lends with ribbis will see his property falter and not rise again? That's on duff. Ein vav. Good. Number 3, which duff do we discuss in a case of a partial sale of land, we instruct the parties to ensure that they will not be able to retract, to write a shtart converting the remaining balance into a debt? That's on duff. Ein zayin. Good. Number 4, which duff do you mean that one who lends with money without aiding transgresses lifnei iver l'titen mikshol? That's on duff. Ein hey. Good. Number 5, which duff do we discuss workers who were hired to draw water for a field, which then became unnecessary or impossible? That's on duff. Ein zayin. Good. Number 6, which duff do we discuss rabbis who made advance payment at a reduced price for wine and then selected wine from among barrels which had soured? That's on duff. Ein gimel. Good. Number 7, which of them that one may not purchase produce in advance at a fixed price until a steady price emerges? That's on duff. I am base. Good. Number 8, which of them discuss reneging on a land sale after partial payment? That's on duff. Ein zayin. Good. Number 9, which duff do we discuss ribbis mukdemus and ribbis mucheris? That's on duff. Ein hey. Good. And number 10, which of the one if donkey drivers went to a location to get grain to the liver, but there wasn't any, they get paid like a poel batel? That's on duff. Ein vav. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.